I just throw on the sneakers and I head outside. I go for a run and everything kind of just settles down.
The Diz Runs With Podcast, episode 248, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the Running with the Bears Marathon, Half Marathon, and 10K, which is happening this year on August the 20th, 2016, in beautiful Greenville, California. I'll be there. I'll be speaking at the pre-race event, and if you want to be there, and I would love to have you join me, all you need to do is head over to runningwiththebears.org and sign up. All of the benefits from this race support the Mountain Circle Family Services, which is a nonprofit organization that works with kids and parents and everybody kind of involved with the foster care system. It's something that, if you know anything about, it can be rough. It can be a rough transition, and this organization does great work, and I'm glad to be partnering with them to provide a little something extra at their race this year. And like I said, I hope you join us. So head over to runningwiththebears.org or head over to the show notes for this episode and click on the link that'll be right there in the show notes. And with that, let's get on with today's episode. Hey guys, my guest today is a woman that has found running to be a great method for getting her mind right during the inevitable ups and downs of life. She's completed 7 full marathons, over 35 half marathons, and describes herself as a slower runner that loves the long distances. She's also a big fan of running with friends, especially for a long run. And with that, it's time to introduce Ms. Sally Stillwell to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Sally.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And guys, if you want to check out more about Sally and her blog and connect with her online, all that kind of stuff, the best place to do so is her website, which is sweatoutthesmallstuff.com. And on Twitter, you can find her at SOTSS, which is conveniently the initials for her website. And on Instagram, where characters aren't as much of an issue, her handle there is just the entire thing, sweatoutthesmallstuff. And I'll have links for all those things and anything else that we talk about today on the show notes for this episode, which you will be able to find at dizruns.com/248. So, Sally, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask a simple and straightforward question that sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, and sometimes it has a lot more difficulty than is intended, but it's always a great place to just launch the conversation and get it started. And that is just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Well, my favorite distance is definitely the half marathon. And it sort of landed in my lap to be that because after training for the full marathon, half marathons just seem so much more attainable. It's really, really hard to fit in marathon training into my schedule with just the normal everyday commitments to life. And I'm not an early riser. I can't do these amazing tasks of getting up at 4 a.m. and wearing a headlamp. So I've scaled back on the full, and as a matter of fact, this year I'm just running halves. Although I just ran my first 10 miler, so next year, if you ask me this question, I might change my answer.
which 10 miler did you do?
It was the Cherry Blossom in Washington, D.C.
I have never run it, but I've never heard a single bad thing about it. Do you have anything bad to say about the Cherry Blossom 10 miler?
No, it was wonderful. I mean, it was cold and it was super windy, and but it was just so, and the blossoms had already bloomed, so we missed that. But it was still amazing, and it was just a really nice course. It was flat, and it was interesting, and it was just really a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I have only run a couple of 10-milers. It's one of those races or one of those distances that, at least down in my neck of the woods in Central Florida, there's not many of them. There's right. One that's kind of cropped up in our area in the last couple of years, and I've done it a couple of times, but it's a fun distance, and it's one of those that, for me, it reminds me, obviously it's similar in scope to the half marathon, but there's differences too. What's kind of your take, and obviously just running the one, and maybe it hasn't quite fully figured it all out yet, but is there, what is the comparison contrast for you between the 10 mile and the half marathon?
I think for me, there was a confidence. When I'm running a half marathon, I usually wait until I get to about mile 7 before I make that decision on whether or not I want to try and push it, or I'm having a bad day and I want to scale back, I always just try and get through the first half before I make any decisions. And with 10 miles, I felt like I could just kind of start really strong from the beginning. And it just, I just have this confidence knowing that I've done so many 10 mile training runs, I guess, because in half marathon training, normally I only go up to 10 miles. And so I finished strong. I never felt like, sometimes in a half marathon, those last couple of miles, you can, you know, start to wish, okay, where's that finish line? But this one, it was like, oh my God, it's done.
Right, right. I've said the same thing several times, or at least thought the same thing several times about the marathon versus the half marathon, where it's like, you know, I've run 13 miles so many times just in, you know, not even in non-training mode, and certainly in marathon training, you go well past 13, but you never go past 26, or at least I never go past 26. And so there's always that uncharted, even though I've done, you know, 26.2 before, there's just that uncharted of like, man, it's not familiar as opposed to 13. I can see that being that exactly what you just said for the 10 mile. It's not that 10 mile isn't anything, but it's much more familiar, and it's not as scary of, you know, can I make it, or what's it going to be like? Like you can go.
Right. And it literally, as soon as you take your first step, you've got less than double digits to go.
that's always nice too. That's one of the things about the marathon. It's like you're running for two plus, you know, sometimes 3 hours before you even are into single digits left. It's a slog.
Yes.
So you said that you're not doing any full marathons this year. When was the last, have you done one recently in the last year, 2 years, or has it been a little while since you've done a marathon?
Yeah. So last year I ran a New York City marathon in November. Mm. And then I also ran earlier in the year, the New Jersey marathon. And both were, I'll say a struggle only because I've been plagued by injuries and, I probably shouldn't have run either of them. But, you know, when you work so hard the year before to meet your qualifications to run the New York City Marathon with New York Roadrunners, you really don't want to have to defer. So I pushed through, and it was my second slowest marathon, but it was the New York City Marathon.
Yeah, no, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. And somebody said somewhere along the way, and I don't remember some quote that I said, but any marathon that you finish is a good marathon, no matter what your time is, no matter whatever.
Absolutely.
Just getting to the finish line is a success. And then from there you can be moderately disappointed or happy or whatever based on time and that type of thing. But just finishing, that's a good first step.
Definitely.
So, have you been running for a long time?
So, I started running, it was about 2006.
Okay.
And I mean, in high school, I was on the track team for one semester, and it was really more about trying to lose some weight, and I was not very good. And I think they put me in a meet only for like relays, because this way they had three other girls to pick up the slack. And I, you know, after one semester, I called it quits and didn't run again until 2006. And that was because I was working with a girl who she actually just finished her 40th state. She's running a marathon in every state. She did Salt Lake City, Utah this past weekend. I think she's run 54 marathons total. And we were just coworkers, and she was just inspiring me, constantly talking about all these, I just got back from, you know, such and such state, and I just ran this marathon. And so that's kind of how I got started. She really kind of took me under her wing, and at the time I was really needing something to get excited about. I don't know if it's a long story, but in a very condensed amount of words, basically, when I was younger, my husband passed away from cancer, and I was kind of feeling like I didn't fit in. It was, you know, my mid to late 20s, and most of my friends were getting married and having kids, and I just didn't have that like identity. And so right as I was working with Lisa and she started to get me interested in running, all of a sudden I had this group of friends and we would do long training runs together. And so I really consider running to be something that really pulled me out of my grief. And now it's my identity.
Gotcha. And there's for you guys that are listening, there's a great video that I'll link to in the show notes that it kind of tells the story in a slightly less condensed version. It's definitely well worth the 3 or 4 minutes to enjoy that. And I'll make sure, like I said, to link to that in the show notes for today's episode. So, so Lisa, who's also in the video and kind of we get introduced to in that video as well, got you going. you know, peer pressure claims another victim and you're starting to run. What was it, you know, what was it tough at first, either physically or emotionally, both, whatever, and you know, or was it something that you took to pretty quickly?
It was tough physically, just because I've always been a walker. My mom never drove growing up, so we used to walk everywhere, and that was, you know, definitely not an issue. But running, just to break through and realize that you're not going to collapse, you know, sometimes you just can't catch your breath. That's, for me, that's why I like long distances, because it usually takes me a mile or two before I even feel comfortable running.
Right.
So when I'm first starting and, you know, she's helping me just to reach a mile, and I think I started by doing like 1 minute of running and 1 minute of walking, and that was probably more challenging, I think. But then, you know, once I got past the hump and she introduced me to races, because at that point I was just running around my neighborhood, and then we did I think the first race she had me run was maybe 5 miles, and it was in Central Park. And so, you know, there's all that anxiety of pinning your bib and getting there on time. And I, you know, didn't know any of the etiquette and all of that stuff. So, you know, now I laugh when I think about that, how nervous I was. And now it's just second nature.
Of course. But I mean, it's something that we've all, you know, in every area of life gone through, where, you know, when you don't know, you don't know. And then once you know, you realize, or you forget sometimes after a while, how much you didn't know when you started, and you know, kind of gives you a chance to play, you know, big brother or big sister to some of the other folks that are getting into whatever, running or other things in life at the same time, and help them along as well.
Exactly.
So you've obviously, you know, Lisa got you into it, the friendship factor got you started. You said that running became kind of part of your identity. How long did that take until like that was something that, you know, you really identified with you know, the running side of you?
So it took me about a year to train for my first half marathon. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was when I really felt like a runner. I won't ever forget crossing the finish line of my first half marathon. I literally couldn't stop. I crossed over the mat and I just kept going sort of into, you know, there were people who had already finished and they were getting their stuff from gear check, and I had a friend there who came to see me, and he was trying to take a picture of me, and my legs were just, they just wouldn't stop. And I remember that morning putting all this stuff around my waist. You don't know what you might need. Mm-hmm. Band-aids. I was a little overpacked for the journey. but I think that first half marathon sort of helped me really feel like I was a runner. And then working from half to full, I think, solidified that, you know, this isn't something that's going to disappear from my life. Mm-hmm. This is something that I need.
Gotcha. Was it a long time after the first half that you decided to extend the distance out, or was it pretty quick transition?
Let's see. My first full was in 2011. So yeah, I guess it took me a few years to get the courage.
It's all right. It's a big jump. It's better than what I did, where I I had done maybe a couple of 5Ks and 10Ks, you know, just the non-runner stuff, you know, where it's like you do it, but, you know, you sign up for the charity event or this or that, at the church and whatnot. And then I decided that I wanted to do a half marathon, and we had just moved back to Central Florida. And I was like, well, I'm going to do, you know, Disney has a half marathon. Like, I'll try that. And I went to sign up, and the half marathon was full, but the marathon was open. And I just said, you know, like, if I don't do it now, I'm going to wait until next year to try to sign up for the half marathon, and it'll probably be full again. So, you know, what the hell, I'll do it. And maybe not the wisest decision, but it got the ball rolling at least. So, you know, you probably, what I'm long way of saying, you did it much more intelligently than I did.
Although I have to say, I've met so many people traveling to different races, and a lot of times you know, if you have a connecting flight, you'll just see so many runners who are also connecting, for, you know, if you're going to maybe a small state to run a local race or something. And everybody has stories, and they're always those kind of stories. It's just so interesting to me that runners really, they just like jump right in. You just become a little bit more fearless, I think.
Yeah. Or you don't know any, you know, it's one of those, you don't know enough afraid or be, you know, do it the right way. You just like, oh, well, I mean, everybody must do it this way. And then you start to realize maybe not so much. So talking about traveling, and do you have a state goal, or do you just kind of go with friends to different races, or travel just for giggles and go run a race? How does that work out?
Yeah, so I don't have a specific goal to run in every state. Although my friends that are working towards that goal, they plan on Hawaii to be their 50th state. Mm-hmm. So now Lisa just reached 40 states. So now we're closing in on the gap. Within a few years, I'll probably be going to Hawaii with them. But in 2013, I got to participate in a really cool event. There's an organization called Mainly Marathons, and the race organizer, he's basically catering to all those marathon maniacs and people that are trying to cover their 50 states. And so he created this event where there's 5 states in 5 days. So most of my friends all ran the full, but I did a half every day.
Okay.
And so it was Monday through Friday, and we did Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. And that was an amazing experience because, like I said, I don't have a goal to run in every state, but to be able to see those 5 states in 5 days and just, you know, I live in New York City. It's a completely different world. You know, just everywhere you look, we went to see Mount Rushmore the day before just for a little extra bonus. And we had such a nice little team kind of, we rented a log cabin and we drove to all the different states every day. And it was just a really wonderful trip. We met a lot of people that we still stay in touch with. And so, yeah, I hitch on to them when they're going to states that sound interesting to me.
Might as well. I've got the 50 state goal too, but I'm not anywhere near, I'm not even near double digits yet. So I've just started this a couple years ago, and then, we had a baby, and then, so that kind of slowed things down a little bit. Yes. But I'm looking forward to getting back on that wagon soon. And it's actually, you know, funny you mentioned the Mainly Marathons. That was, something that somebody else had talked about just, maybe a month or so ago on the show. And, I feel like I'd stumbled upon it somehow, looking at potential races or things like that, and it was like, man, there's five marathons, and whichever, because I know there's like 6 or 8 different options of different places you can go. Some are 3 or 4, some are 5 or 6, 7, whatever.
Expanded. He had 2 different series to begin with, but now he's expanded. There's the Riverboat series. There's one.
I feel like
there's
one in New England, up by, not in New York necessarily, but close at least in your ballpark.
Yes.
So yeah, it's something that I hadn't thought. I guess I'd seen it and then never really thought about it again. But now it's come up a couple times. I'm intrigued by it. What were the races like? Not necessarily as far as the specifics of each place, but logistics wise, were they all? I believe when I talked to the lady before, they were mostly kind of loop courses. Is that still the same situation with your experience as well?
Yes. So for the full marathoners, you basically had to do, I think it was about 12 laps or out and backs, half marathon or 6. And so every time you reached the starting point, you'd get a rubber band to put on your wrist. And so when you reached the maximum of rubber bands, you knew you were done. Although everybody has Garmin GPS tracking
right,
these days.
You know.
But the thing that was so wonderful about it, and again, there are people that probably don't want to run the same thing over and over again, but I loved it because you basically set up your own little personal aid station. Not to mention that they have a really wonderful little aid station. So every mile and a quarter or so, you'd be able to, if you needed to, take off a layer, add a layer, anything. Especially by day 5, one of my friends, his foot was so blistered, he literally took his shoe off and ran with just duct tape on his foot. So you sort of had that comfort level of, oh my God, how am I going to cover? For me, it was 65 miles. For my friends, it was 130 miles in a week. And that can be really scary if they're all point to point. So I think everybody felt comfortable. And plus you see everybody constantly. So the faster runners and the slower runners get to kind of mingle. And it's sort of like a party, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I feel like when I first saw it, or kind of looked into it briefly, whatever it was, a handful of years ago, it was like, yeah, I have no desire to run, whether it's a 1 mile loop or a 2 mile loop, whatever. 12 laps, 15 laps, 20 laps, whatever it works out to be to get to the 26 miles. But then, you know, the more I hear about it, and some of the pros that come out of it, you know, I think of it being as this boring, you know, 26-mile loops or whatever it might be. But then, you know, the fact that you do have aid stations, you have to carry stuff. You can drop stuff and you're not going to, you know, lose your sweatshirt to the street sweeper that comes up behind you at you know, a lot of the other type of races where you just discard your clothes and you never see them again. Like,
exactly.
Definitely some positive aspects to it that would, in addition to the ability to knock out, you know, four or five states in a week, if that's part of a goal that you're working towards.
Right. And cost effectiveness too. I mean, a lot of times people are flying and they're spending so much money for hotel and mm-hmm. airfare and, you know, and then the cost of the race that it can be really expensive to run more than one or two marathons a year. So here you can get five states done and it's all with one airfare.
Right. Is that something that you would, I mean, again, not necessarily trying to get to the 50 states or anything like that, but you know, if your friends were going to do another mainly series like that, would you do it again?
I would definitely do it again. Definitely. Yeah. I keep waiting for them to suggest it. We've done a lot of those different types of overnight relays with the Ragnar relay mm-hmm. series. And we've all kind of decided that we're done with overnight relays. So that one we can definitely cross off our list. But the mainly marathon series, I'm hoping they'll want to do another one.
Gotcha. What was the recovery for you like during that 5 days of half marathons back to back to back to back to back to whatever, however many backs I have to get in there? What was the recovery like for you?
Well, I have to say it was really pretty easy for me, mainly because I was there for an extra 2 to 3 hours after mm-hmm. I was done running while I was waiting for everybody else to finish. And so I never sat down and got tight. I was walking. At some points I was actually running a little bit extra just to kind of help them. Montana happened to be a really cold and windy day and Lisa was struggling a little bit. So at one point I think I went and ran another mile or so with her just to keep her company. And I kept my pace at my easy pace. So I wasn't really going full force or anything. And then we had this log cabin in South Dakota that had a hot tub. So we came back, we cooked nice, healthy meal. We had plenty of anti-inflammatory property foods. And then we sat in the hot tub a little bit. And it was basically like, that was our job. We didn't have anything else to deal with. I think sometimes you run a race, then you sit in the car and you drive home and that's where everything kind of tightens up. And so I really didn't have much of an issue. I think, though, overall, the training leading up to it, I know for my friends that ran the fulls every day, they were running so much during the training. They would, you know, they got up to 3 days of like 3 20 milers in a row, basically. And I think they all sort of felt fatigue for probably a good 6 months to a year after that.
Wow. What was your training like leading up to it? Did you get it to, you know, the same type of thing, only half, like 3 or 4 10-mile days?
Pretty much. I think I peaked at about 10 miles 3 days straight as my max effort leading up to it. And yeah, again, because I was doing so much of my training with them, it was a lot easier for me. I actually felt a little guilty some days because there were days, one of the days was super, super hot. I think it was South Dakota. And they were all just struggling and sweating and, you know, pouring cold water over their heads. And I was done and all chipper. And I'm sure they wanted to just smack me.
Right. And I'm sure, and this is just me completely spitballing, but if that was the hot day, I'm sure that was probably like the first or second day as opposed to like the last day when you could shut it down afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah, of course. It would always work out that, you know, the cold day would be the last day when you're like, keep the cooler days early and the hotter days at the end.
Yeah. Actually, the last day was probably the most beautiful. That was in Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that, you know, like I said, it's at first it doesn't sound intriguing, but the more I hear about it and hear folks talking about it and reading things about it and stuff, the more it sounds fun. If nothing else, just for a challenge and for the challenge of running a race without racing, because if you know you're doing, you know, even every other day, or if you're doing, you know, all 5 or 6 days in a row or whatever, like you do have to pace yourself a little bit and keep things under control so that you're able to get out of bed the next morning and do it again.
Exactly. And he had a special award for the slowest person every day rather than for the winner. So there was the caboose, and whoever was the last person to finish for the day got the caboose, which was really sweet. And it kind of, you know, fostered a good feeling for everybody.
Right, right.
And the medals were really cool, too.
Yeah.
It was one main medal, and then hanging off of it every day when you finished a state, you got a medallion for that state that connected to the main medal. And it just became like this strand. It was really pretty. And, yeah, definitely a favorite memory.
that's awesome. I definitely, like I said, every time I hear it, every time it comes up, I get a little bit more intrigued. I think it's going to be something that's going to have to, I don't know whether it'll be part of the next year plan or whatever, but it's going to be part of the plan soon. That's for sure. It's just a matter of, you know, boy, it's an undertaking to think about doing one marathon, let alone 3, 4, 5, 6 of them in a row. That's
right.
Pill to swallow. So, with the blog, sweat out this, let me see here. Make sure I'm saying that right. Yeah, sweat out the small stuff. How long have you been doing that, and what was the impetus of getting that thing started?
So, I'm actually coming on 3 years since I started this, and it developed because I was talking about running and racing so much on Facebook, and, you know, unfortunately, I only have a small quadrant of friends that are running friends, and so everybody else was not really interested, and I felt like I really didn't want to just post something quick. I wanted to really talk about my running and talk about my training and, you know, recap my races and, you know, just maybe share some. There's so many blogs out there for runners who are super fast. Mm-hmm. You know, running is really much more about PRs and pacing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm sort of like your everyday person who, I think maybe I could be a little bit more relatable to a large population of this country. Mm-hmm. So I decided, well, let me start just blogging. And if nobody reads it, that's fine. But at least I have a nice little documentation of all the races that I've done. And even now, some days I'll kind of go back and I'll just look through some of my old posts. And, you know, I do share some tips on there that I think are kind of important for people mm-hmm. that are maybe just getting started. But yeah, I really think that it's just a way for me to talk about something that I love to talk about.
Right. Well, and it's like you said, I mean, especially with, you know, kind of wherever we are in the cycle of, you know, this most recent running boom, but, you know, so many people get started, I don't know if later in life is quite the right term, but not necessarily in high school or not necessarily in middle school, things
right.
like that. But, you know, your 20s, 30s, things like that, you've got families, you've got careers, and people get started with running. And you're right, it can be somewhat intimidating, and it's nice to find people that are busy and have work and have this commitment and that commitment, and, you know, they're still out there and you know, struggling to find time, and just that little bit of motivation or that little bit of I can relate to that. Like I think it's certainly helpful, and your blog does a great job of conveying that.
Thanks.
Was the title a little bit of a play on the don't sweat the small stuff type of that was
yes.
the first thing that popped up to my mind. Okay.
It's totally a play on that. For one, I tend to, I'm a very anxious person. and also, you know, going through the process of grieving after my husband passed away, I had just a lot of, just a real emotional kind of person. And I think running kind of grounded me, sort of in a literal way. every time I'm, you know, sitting here and I have just all this stuff going on in my head and I'm not really sure, you know, what task to accomplish or how am I going to handle X, Y, and Z all happening on the same weekend, and I can feel myself getting flustered, I just throw on the sneakers and I head outside, I go for a run, and everything kind of just settles down, and, you know, I start to figure out, okay, this is what my plan is going to be.
Well, and my take on it, and from not knowing any different, but you know, it's one thing, you know, the saying of course is don't sweat the small stuff, but like we all have small stuff and we all sweat it. But you know, kind of what you just said and what I was thinking when I you know, if I've been reading your blog and whatnot, is that you know, we've all got the small stuff, but you know, sweating it out makes it like it gives you a chance to process it and let it go, as opposed to like just try to brush it away, and then, you know, it continues to build and fester, and eventually maybe becomes something bigger or something that never goes away. But I don't know, just a fun message, whether it was, you know, whether that was the intention or not. Like it's something that I think we can all benefit from, of, you know, kind of sweating it out, dealing with it, processing it, and moving on. And like you said, a lot of times when we do get flustered and go for that run or whatever it is, whether it's, you know, people listen to this probably run, but it could be something else for somebody else. Those little things do kind of tend to settle into their place, and it's all good after that.
Exactly.
So what are some of the future goals, future plans? You know, you mentioned no marathons this year, but a couple of races this fall and whatnot. Have some of the injuries from last year kind of healed up, and you know, as you're getting moving on into this year, hopefully?
Yes. So I currently don't have any major issues going on right now. I just have my
find
little
some wood
tight
to knock on.
Right, my little tight spots here and there, and you know, I'm just trying to focus on as much foam rolling and stretching as I can. So yeah, this is the first time where I'm actually, and the last two races that I ran, I did a half marathon last weekend and I did the Cherry Blossom the week before, and both races I felt really good. I kept a nice, I want to call it maybe like a tempo pace for me. It was just a nice strong effort from beginning to end. I wasn't giving it all I had, but I wasn't feeling like, oh, I'm dying.
Right, right.
Nothing was killing me. Well, my knees were good. My ankles were good. Everything was good. And so I think that's kind of helping me to choose some goals. I've got, so this year for New Jersey, I've done the full marathon the last 3 years. And this year I'm going to do the half marathon. Mm-hmm. So
was it difficult to make the decision to step down?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, God, yes. I still actually, in the back of my mind, feel like maybe on the day of the expo, when I pick up my race bib, I'll change and switch to the full. But I know that I can't do that, because then I'll just set myself up for injury. But it's just one of my favorite races to do. So And the half and the full both go along the same course. So I know it pretty well, and so I have these goals. I don't think I'll be able to reach for a PR, but at least I know I want to give it a good effort and finish strong, and that'll help formulate how my fall is going to go. I'm keeping the summer nice and loose and open, and then we'll see what's going to happen in the fall. But yeah, maybe full marathons next year.
Gotcha. So you haven't closed the door on the full marathon?
I haven't. It's funny, today as I was watching the Boston Marathon on my computer, and, you know, I have no connection at all to these people that are winning, because it's not even an American right, like Jelaine or Kara or anybody. But just watching them finish, I got choked up. And that's when it hits me that marathons are so important to me, and I want to be able to do them for as long as I can. So the reason why I took this year off was really so I'll be in okay shape for next year.
Right. A little long-term preservation.
Yep.
And I'm the same way. I've done, I don't know what the number is now, about the same 7 or 8 marathons, something like that. And every finish line is a little, you know, you just feel the emotions start to bubble up. What is that feeling like for you when you get to the end of a 26.2 race?
Oh my gosh. I've probably cried at every single finish line. And they all have such poignant moments. There, you know, my first finish was at New York City. So just to finish my first marathon and have it be at New York City, where there's just millions of people, I cried like a baby. The most recent New York City marathon, Lisa had started a little bit before me, or maybe a little bit after me, I guess. Yeah. So we ended up connecting at about mile 23 and she and I stayed together, and we kind of gave ourselves a little bargaining, you know, okay, well, at the next lamppost, we'll take a 1 minute walk break. Mm-hmm. And we got each other through those last 3 miles, and we got to cross the finish line together, which I thought was kind of full circle, since she's the one that got me into running in the first place. So of course I cried for that one. New Jersey last year was the first time that my boyfriend got to see me run a marathon. So that was pretty exciting. He had done the half marathon, went home, took a shower, took care of the dogs, came back, parked, and got to the finish line about 8 minutes before I got there, and videotaped it. And that was kind of exciting when I heard him screaming, "Go, Sally!"
you couldn't have planned that much better if you wanted to.
I know. So I gold at that one. Again, this year for New York City, a good friend of mine that I went to high school with, all these years later, you know, we reconnected on Facebook, but his daughter was tragically killed crossing the street. She was hit by a car. And so I put her initials on the back of my shirt for New York City this year. And I thought about her a lot. She loved Taylor Swift. And so every time I would hear, especially in the Bronx, there's just tons of spectators with boom boxes. And so I got a little choked up there. Right. And yeah. It's just, it's one of those things that when you don't think, you know, like I said, I didn't really have much of a history as a runner up until adulthood. So to think this is something that I've accomplished that I had no idea would ever enter my life. And, you know, not only just one time, but now I've gotten there seven times. It's very overwhelming.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, one thing that comes into my head, sometimes is, you know, being in kind of, you know, especially with social media, you know, it feels like there's so many people that run, you know, we're surrounded by, you know, tweets and Instagram posts and Facebook messages and comments on the blog, and you just find other people's blogs. There's no, you know, running blogs. There's no shortage of those anywhere. But if you stop and realize that, the percentage of the population, I don't know what the number is, but it's small, whatever it is, the percentage of the population that has done a marathon, like, you know, it's easy to compare to every, you know, to the Shalanes and the Karas and the Mebs and the elites and even the local, you know, sub elites or whatever, the people that you are never going to be faster than, and think, man, like this isn't that, like, why am I getting all choked up, or why is this, you know, it's not that special. But then you realize that, you know, whatever it is, 1% or 2% of the population that ever completes it, like, it's a pretty good accomplishment. No matter, you know, stop grading it on a scale and just realize that it is emotional to do it. And you're, you know, we're all everybody who's, you know, half marathon, full marathon, whatever, like we've done stuff that a lot of people haven't done. And it's right. It's a cool feeling.
That it is.
So, as we're getting close to kind of wrapping things up today, Sally, looking long-term, you know, Lisa's got the 50 state goal. I've got the 50 state goal. There's lots of people that have those type of goals or time goals or whatever. Do you have any, whether it's goals or maybe bucket list races, the races that you really, would like to do at some point? You know, for me, it's Boston. Like I would love to do New York. Like that'd be, I don't know. I could be okay with doing New York if the opportunity presented itself, but like Boston is for me, like, come hell or high water, like I want to get to Boston and run that race. Do you have any events like that are really on your radar of, you know, this is something I really want to do down the road?
Boston would definitely be something I would love to run. I just feel like it's so unattainable unless, you know, I'd have to definitely go the fundraising route. And I've done so much fundraising, I kind of feel like I've tapped out my family for now.
Right.
And the big joke is, if I can maintain my PR pace, I'll be able to qualify when I'm 70.
There you go.
So that, you know, that's an ongoing joke, that, you know, maybe I'll get to run, when I'm older.
Well, or, you know, pick up just a few minutes and then by, you know, 65, you know,
right.
That's my thing too. It's like, I watch those trajectories. I need to get a little bit faster, a little bit older, and eventually those two lines will cross.
Yeah. Hawaii, definitely. Like I said, I'm really excited for everybody to get close to that 50 state, and I'm going to join them for Hawaii. But I think something that I would love to do in the future might be to, there's an organization called Girls on the Run, and they work with kids. My boyfriend's daughter is actually 10 and she's in the program, and it's not so much about how fast you can run, but it's all about self-empowerment and self-esteem. And it's just such an interesting and I think super important kind of a program, something I wished I had when I was that age. So, you know, maybe as I get older and life gets busier and I can't go everywhere I want to go and travel the world to run all these races, I'll keep it more local. But you know, maybe I'll get a chance to be part of that kind of a program.
Yeah, that's a great place to kind of wrap things up, because I love that idea of giving back, and you know, whether you want to call it being a mentor or being a role model, or just, you know, supporting people that are looking for that positive support. I mean, what a great opportunity. What a great kind of, you know, long-term goal. I like that a lot. That's really awesome.
Thanks.
Definitely. So, like I said, I think that's a great place to kind of wrap it up. So, guys, again, sweatoutthesmallstuff.com on Twitter, SOTSS, and on Instagram, sweatoutthesmallstuff. Links in the show notes, disruns.com/248. And again, I will have a link to the video that kind of tells a little bit of Sally's backstory. And it's worth watching, but you might want to make sure you have a couple Kleenexes with you, because it is a little bit tugs on the heartstrings, kind of like the end of that 26.2 finish line that tugs on the heartstrings as well. So, Sally, again, thank you for taking the time today. Thanks for sharing some of your story, and obviously nothing but the best going forward. And looking forward to keeping in touch and seeing how things unravel for you this year and beyond as well.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed the chat between Sally and myself, and I would definitely encourage you to make it over to the show notes at some point and check out the video about, kind of, you know, given the little bit longer version of Sally's running history and kind of how she got started with running. It's well worth, like I said, well worth the 3 or 4 minutes, but it is a bit of a tearjerker. So you might want to bring some tissues with you if you're an easy crier. So I would love to hear, as always, what your takeaways are from this episode. For me, I think it kind of ties into that, into how Sally got started a little bit. And it wasn't one of the main points of this, or kind of main focuses, I guess, of our chat. But it is just what stood out to me. And that's the cool thing about these takeaways, is sometimes they're the quote unquote obvious things, and sometimes they're a little bit more, under the layers. But for me, I think it was kind of the way that she got started, the way that Sally got into running was from a friend who was a runner, and who just knew that something wasn't right, and that, maybe running could help solve the issues and help Sally deal with the grief that she was facing at the loss of her husband. And it just is a reminder to me of how powerful running can be, not only for ourselves, but when we are willing to share that and to invite other folks in to our circle, to our community of runners. And you know, just like when Sally started, she couldn't keep up with Lisa. She was new. And sometimes I think maybe that might hold myself back. And I don't know, maybe that's holds others back as well. When I invite somebody to run and, you know, the first response may be, well, I can't keep up with you. And maybe even, you know, and this is kind of sad to admit, but maybe that's part of why maybe I don't invite some non-runners to join me as much, is because I know that they can't keep up with me and I don't want to run slower. And this was just a reminder. My takeaway was just a reminder that you never know what somebody might be dealing with. And if you do know what they might be dealing with, you may not know the depth or how much of a struggle it is, but you know, and I know how much better we feel after a run and how much running helps us to sweat out the small stuff and to sweat out the big stuff too. So just as a reminder for me today to make sure to always extend that invitation to folks that, you know, whether they're runners or not, that, like, hey, you know, if you're having a struggle, if you're dealing with something that's tough, you know, maybe you want to go running. Maybe, you know, maybe we can run together and just chat, or not chat, but just get your mind off of it for a little bit, and maybe that'll help. So that's kind of my takeaway, and I would love to hear what stood out for you. What was your takeaway from this episode? Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns, shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com, or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/248, and leave a comment. And that way other people can see your takeaway and build off of it and maybe be, you know, maybe reconsider or maybe get different points of view. That's one of the cool things that can happen there, is get 3 or 4 people with 3 or 4 different takeaways, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's minds start going and the gears start turning, and who knows where we end up. And that's something I love about this opportunity that I have, is to start the conversation and see where we end up. So with that, let's wrap things up today. Don't forget runningwiththebears.org in case you want to join me out in California later this summer. Race time temperatures in the high 40s, low 50s. So pretty comfortable way to run if you can get through the summertime training, which is going to be my biggest hurdle. But I'll deal with it, and I'm going to have a great time, and I hope that you'll consider joining me. And again, All those details can be found also in the show notes for this episode. So with that, hope you have a great rest of the day, guys. Thanks again for listening. I appreciate it so much. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.